Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Stephen Ross, who is the co-founder and CEO of World Research Foundation, and he is the author of the book called And Nothing Happened, But You Can Make It Happen. Dr. Ross has put together a very good historical account of very effective medical treatments, often based on frequency and, in other words, not chemical medicine, but frequency electrical medicine that worked and were shown to work and were then thereby suppressed by the powers that be who had invested interest in chemical medicine. And thus we have arrived in this century with a very dismal treatment of cancer, treatment of most autoimmune disease, and a basic misunderstanding of what causes disease in general. So I'm real happy to have Dr. Ross on today to talk about his journey and what he has found out about the state of healthcare in the United States. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Ross.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kolb, and please call me Steve.
Okay, great. You can call me Susan.
So, sounds good. Yes.
So would you like to give the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you came to come in, I guess, really be guided to get this equipment together, to get this information together, and what exactly the World Research Foundation is all about?
Sure. Thank you. Well, my journey started in 1968. I was on an athletic scholarship at my university, Cal State Northridge, just outside of Los Angeles. I was a 100-meter, 200-meter runner, anchored our 400-meter relay. A gardener left a sprinkler head up on our running track, and during the Easter break, I didn't see the sprinkler head to the last second, tried to extend my stride, and just really ripped up my knee so badly that I had to crawl on my hands and knees to get to the trainer's room because school was not in session. My university sent me to the top orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Robert Kurland, who was basically the sports physician for almost all of the athletic teams back in 68. He did all of his tests and said that there was no way I could compete again unless I had surgery. For a second opinion, I was sent over to UCLA, and over there, Ducky Drake, who was a very famous trainer, and actually their football stadium is named after him, Drake Stadium, also confirmed I would have to have surgery. Now, Susan, I am of such an old age that Kareem Jabbar, Lew Alcindor, was still playing basketball for John Wooden, so it was quite a few years ago, but all the experts said I would need surgery. I was very dejected, went back to my trainer's room, and sitting next to a whirlpool was Popular Mechanics magazine. I read about a technique in there coming out of Russia, or some thoughts, called up Dr. Kurland, called up Ducky Drake. Their answers in 68 were, it was holistic garbage, it really wouldn't work, this is America, we have the best. However, I decided to use it on my own. I missed only 4 weeks of training, and that year finished fifth in the United States to receive my All-America certificate. So it planted a seed for me. Why did these experts say something would not work? What other things exist in this world that we are not familiar with? And thus began my searching for what else was around throughout the world.
Well, as a surgeon, I can tell you why they don't want anything else to work. You know, it's very easy to dissolve gallstones, as you probably know. And
yep.
I was talking to some of my colleagues in the doctor's lounge about that, and the general surgeons were just horrified that something could dissolve gallstones because so much of their money is made on gallbladder surgery.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
That the orthopedic doctors don't get paid for seeing you in clinic. They get paid for doing your surgery, as you know.
Yes.
It's economic.
Yes, it is economic, and as I started journeying around the world and making contacts, I just discovered so much that was out there for cancer and arthritis and diabetes and a lot of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I met another person, Laverne Bachman, and we co-founded the World Research Foundation, which is a 501c3, just to house all of the information that we had been gathering. And mm-hmm. at this time, we have 20,000 volumes dating to the 1400s in every form of natural or complementary medicine. But I would like to tell your listeners that although it may sound that we're more into the holistic, our advisory board, Bjorn Nordenstrom, was the past chairman of the Nobel Assembly. Jim mm-hmm. Logan works for NASA. We have prestigious individuals who give us information on both the allopathic and the non-traditional information. For me, it's a question of what works, and I'm not as interested in belief systems. And as you mentioned, Susan, rightly, the money. We're looking for mm-hmm. things that are going to help people in need.
Right. Well, that's very important. And one of the main problems, as you probably realized, is that people really don't know what causes disease. For example, autoimmune disease, in my experience, is either due to chemical toxicity or intracellular infection. And they're very different. I mean, chemical toxicity and intracellular infections are treated entirely differently. But if you treat the cause of the disease, most intracellular infections will resolve, and that includes the cause of MS, ALS, Lyme's disease, mycoplasma, interstitial cystitis, and I've recently discovered that even sarcoid is due to an intracellular infection. So yep. I've looked at scleroderma. Scleroderma has mold biotoxins involved. So some of them are combinations of toxic illnesses, either chemical or biotoxins, and then other intracellular infections. Wegener's granulomatosis, which, as you know, is very rare, at least the patient I had that is now cured of it, had silicone toxicity, so that silicone was an adjuvant, so it was making things very much reactive. And she had ruptured silicone implants. It was genetic. There was a genetic cause. And then there was a mildew. It was interesting. Mildew was all over their home. They lived by a river, and her husband was a pastor. And when I elicited the mildew, which I did through spiritual hearing, he just jumped up and he said, "I knew it. I knew that was it."
Right. But,
and so we had to treat her for mildew and treat her environment for mildew. And she is over the disease because we treated the cause. So you have to treat the cause of the disease.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting because in your preface you mentioned the book I have written, and it really is based on a lot of research and discoveries made by very, very prestigious individuals, individual doctors and scientists. One, Bjorn Nordenstrom of the Nobel Assembly, George mm-hmm. Kreil of the Cleveland Clinic, who has a crater in the moon and a battleship named after him. Individuals who were known for one of their specialties, but other areas where they researched wasn't really exposed or mentioned as much. And that is the real shame, Susan, because again, the whole aspect of electromagnetism, frequency, oscillation is a vital part of the makeup of all existence, including our bodies, and we really have not. Now there's a little bit more, but there were individuals who have already developed good cures using this approach for cancer, arthritis, ALS, a lot of those, but it just doesn't make it into the mainstream.
One of my friends was a CIA doctor, and he was actually inducted into the CIA for curing cancer. He discovered that if you turned the nucleus negative, that internal cancers would go away and external cancers would then necrose and fall off. So, you know, basically electromagnetic medicine and even scalar energy, which I'm really interested in because scalar energy is, as you know, instantaneous and really the energy of spontaneous remission. as well as other phenomena like corpses not decaying. Scalar medicine is absolutely fascinating, and so we've done several shows on scalar medicine with people who are practicing with that. So, you know, there's just so much out there. Let's start at the beginning here. I think the first story you have is about Rife. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's Royal Rife and his universal microscope that he developed in the 1920s. But I would like to preface this by saying it is not just a story in my book. I actually had his one and only universal microscope for 3 years. So it's not just a story. It is something that I am extremely familiar with. And for your audience, it was a microscope developed in the 20s that was 10 times more powerful than any other light source microscopes of the day. And through this microscope and with the group that was working with Royal Rife, they were able to identify frequencies that devitalized or destroyed viruses, bacteria, and microbes. It was fascinating that a 60,000 power microscope could look at all objects in live, real time, not like the electron, which you cannot really look at specimens live. This super microscope really gave them the ability to see what frequencies would affect these microbes, and it became very easy for them because the various microbes and bacteria, as an example, Bacillus typhoides was always a turquoise blue. When they found the virus of tuberculosis, it was an emerald green color. Cancer was purplish red. Well, seeing those colors brings you into the vibrational scale. And through this microscope, they would watch, as an example, a virus associated with a cancer tumor. They would turn different frequencies, and when they saw the color extinguished through the microscope, that virus was completely destroyed. It was really fascinating. They found a frequency of 60 diseases and illnesses.
Yeah, and the story about Rife in your book is really fascinating because he was working on animal tumors or human tumors that were induced into animals. Was that right?
That is correct. They took a woman's female breast cancer tumor, and they removed it, and they cut it in half. And one half they injected into 100 rats, and every one of those rats developed cancer tumors twice their body weight. Mm-hmm. Then what they did was they used the frequency they had found on the rats, and every one of those tumors was rectified, and the rats lived. Now, they still had another half of the tumor, the original tumor. They used the frequency on that tumor, injected it in another 100 rats, and the cancer did not develop in any of them.
Right, right. So the viral agent was probably responsible for lowering the energy of the breast in order for the cancer to come in.
And that, Susan, is exactly it. When a microbe, virus, or bacteria, that frequency is higher, we're going to make it very simplistic, then the defense mechanism of the body, it overpowers the body. This is why there are a lot of healthy people who have that potentiality inside of them, but their frequency, their vibration is higher than, I'm going to use the word, the invader, and therefore they don't develop it.
Let me tell you a little bit about what I found out with cancer. We've had a cancer clinic here since 99, and I've been working with the idea that a cancer is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third dimension, into an area, an organ of low energy. So like for the blood, it would be leukemia, the lymphatic system, lymphoma, breast is breast. And emotional is one of the main causes of primary cancer. In other words, when you get an emotional hit, that lowers energy in the breast, you become really susceptible to cancer. But infectious is also there. We see mildew, we see viruses, we see bacteria. You know, H. pylori is what an example for stomach cancer. We see viruses, Barrett's esophageal tumors. And so many different kinds of infection. Of course, mold and the biotoxins from mold are known aflatoxins. But then there's other things like radiation. Radiation lowers the energy, and so does geopathic stress, and so does generational curse, which brings us back to the cause of cancer, which is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third dimension. I've seen cancers that are only caused by generational curse, and so therefore, the Christian shamans that I work with remove the curse, and then the cancer can go away. But what's interesting is three approaches to cancer that we take. One is to limit the energy coming in with antipsychotics. Abilify works very well to block the cancer energy, and there's a lot of peer-reviewed literature out there showing that people who are started on antipsychotics have their tumors go away without any treatment. Their cancers go away. The second thing is to put energy back in the body, and this is the basis of many of these machines and devices that put energy back into an area and raise the energy high enough so the cancer goes away. And I don't know if you've ever seen spontaneous remission. I actually have. An energy, we had about 40 people praying for one patient in my office, and that degree of spiritual energy caused a spontaneous remission where the patient felt an energy at the top of her head, and it went to the bottom of her feet. And by the time it got to her feet, she had no more metastatic disease. So spontaneous remission has to be, that's why I'm pretty sure that cancer is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third, because if you have a fifth dimensional energy, like scalar energy, and it goes through the body, it'll kick the cancer energy back into the fourth, and you have spontaneous, and I mean spontaneous, remission of tumors. They're no longer there in minutes.
Well, if you, yes, if you would like to open this area, which you have, I would tell you that for 40 years, I have worked with people doing distant healing with documents from the University of Kansas and UCLA, where individuals had instantaneous remission of inoperable brain cancer tumors. So,
and that's scalar energy that's being sent.
You're preaching to the choir here, because even though I have written this book for people who need to be feel secure on the physical level, my much larger interest and work has been on the alchemical, spiritual area.
Right.
So, no, I am very familiar. For me, some individuals need something more tangible, and these machines and devices satisfy their need to feel. But there are other people who don't need to have that, but obviously, and you and I met really through a post on Facebook. My goal is to tell people, again, the power of our mind, the spirit, and what any machine is capable of doing, we are also capable of doing.
Right,
and yes,
we are.
Spontaneous remissions show that there is so much more that's involved here. But not everybody can get to that point right away. And by the way, I remember reading an article maybe 10 years ago that the government did a study, and they proved that every technique coming out of even standard orthodox medicine continues to lose effectiveness each year. And I have a theory that a lot of that has to do with the placebo effect, where people are all excited, and then it goes down in effectiveness, because more and more people say, you know, that really didn't work for me, and boom, it goes down in effectiveness. So, no, I happen to agree with you. I have witnessed and been a party of it for all over the world for more than 40 years. So,
well, one of the really important things that we've found is that you have to treat the cause of the cancer. So if it's electromagnetic, you know, if it's a smart meter or you're sleeping by your Wi-Fi, and by the way, electromagnetic is the most common cause of recurrent cancer. It's very interesting. Emotional is the usual cause of primary cancer, but of course you can just have electromagnetic and radiation, or you can have geopathic stress. According to Burton Goldberg, I was speaking to him before he died, he said that he felt that 70% of patients with cancer had geopathic stress. You know what the treatment for geopathic stress is move your bed. Or even move to the other side of your bed. I mean, how simple is that?
By the way, yes, I might add that Burton Goldberg, who attended our first three World Congresses, came to World Research Foundation, and that was the basis of three-quarters of his book.
Right. It's very, very important.
I know Burton knew him, but again, there are so many factors that lead into this, because I found with working with people that even one therapy does not necessarily work for everybody, and it is, again, based on what you're saying. I remember doing a radio program. It was a call-in, and a doctor ended up calling in to the station. He was extremely upset, unfortunately, because the host was really, really bashing the medical profession. The host was not a doctor. And when the doctor called in, he was really started bashing me, even though I was not the one sharing it. But I said, "Doctor, look, as far as I'm concerned, there are three avenues that an individual may get cancer. One is the environment. Maybe they live next to Love Canal. Another is the food they eat. And another is their psychological, spiritual." And then I said to the doctor, "By the way, doctor, how long and how much training did you have in diet? Dead silent. How much training have you had in psychology? Dead silent. And do you ask your patients and check where they are in their environment?" And then we heard the dial tone when he hung up. The approach to these has to be exactly what you're saying. But this is the difference between Eastern-type medicine and even homeopathy, where the homeopathic practitioner may go ahead and take 1 hour asking questions. I remember reading in JAMA that the average physician starts diagnosing after 1 minute after the patient starts talking. They really do not get an idea of what is involved in that particular problem.
Well, basically, what we do here is we just muscle test. We do is applied kinesiology to determine the cause. And there's only a certain number of causes of cancer. I mean, dental is one. If you have a root canal in the breast meridian, that can lower the breast. That takes you into Chinese medicine. There's a toxic chemical. It's well known that dioxin concentrates in the upper outer quadrant of the breast, and 85% of breast cancers are in the upper outer quadrant. Medical radiation. We all know that medical radiation, especially the new high-powered digital forms, can put a lot of radiation into an area. And so if the person has multiple exams, that can be a cause. So we test the cause, we treat the cause, we put energy back in, and we block the energy coming in that causes the cancer. And that's that way you actually know what's causing the cancer. And I'm going to tell you something. It's interesting. Food is not the main thing. Food can cure cancer. Food, because you put living food in and you raise the energy of the body and the body kicks the cancer out. But the only food I found, I did a television show for a long time, and we were interviewing Andrew Young's son, and it turned out that Andrew Young's wife went to Africa with on a diplomatic thing and ate bread over there, and that she got liver cancer from aflatoxins from bread. So the main reason you get cancer from food is aflatoxins. You got to be careful about certain molds, which are well known to cause cancer. But in general, the causes of cancer are actually very specific. It's fascinating.
Yes.
So Rife figured out a way to blow up, I guess, using frequency, blow up pathogens. But that was suppressed. You want to tell a little bit about what happened to Rife and his and the initial interest and then how that was suppressed.
Yes. Wright had working with him, E.C. Rosenau of the Mayo Clinic, Arthur Kendall of Northwestern University, Wells Barker of Johns Hopkins. We are talking about the who's who in the world of medicine in the 20s and 30s. What we have is, or what I have is, his original research microscope, the universal, 500 personal letters of all of the doctors back and forth, and his original log of the frequencies for the different diseases and illnesses. So when I am sharing this, I am sharing it from in-hand knowledge and not from stories over the internet, which, by the way, just popping this in, most of the stories about Rife and websites absolutely do not know what they're talking about. One website takes from another, and they just, it's like Chinese whispers, a game where a teacher would say something and one student would hear, and after the 30th student, it didn't make any sense. Rife was an incredible researcher. He had great people around them. They knew what they had. An announcement came out through the San Diego newspaper in 1935 claiming that the discovery of cancer had been made. While Rife and his associates were a little bit more conservative than that, and even in that article they said, well, we are not saying we have absolutely cured cancer, but what we are saying is, and blah, blah, blah. Well, they got a lot of resistance. I know the resistance because of the letters. It came from, believe it or not, the Cancer Research Organization, who said, we want you to continue working with animal cancers. Don't mention anything about human cancers. We will not give you any funding. There was also one of the pharmaceutical interests approached them. What happened was most of the doctors who were with Rife had to back away because they received threats. Now, this is not hypothetical. We have the letters. We know where the pressure came from. So they backed away. Rife was basically left on his own. And from 33 to 1944, you didn't hear much. But then all of a sudden, the Smithsonian Institute and the Franklin Institute, both repositories of information, approached Rife and had heard about his microscope, and they wrote in the Smithsonian Institute the new microscope. Unfortunately for Rife, at the same time the discussion was about his incredible light source microscope, RCA comes out with the electron microscope, had more money, there was more exposure, more advertising. And then we find that, again, the universal microscope, which really had much more depth, the pictures through it were phenomenal, sunk away again. Over the years, people had heard about the Rife microscope. I remember talking with a doctor in 1980 who said, boy, when I was a young and my friend was 80 years old himself, when I was a young whippersnapper, I heard about the super microscope built in the 20s, but it disappeared. And basically, Rife was left alone. Doctors abandoned him out of fear, and he became a drunk, and he died in the 1970s. But to show you how stories can get out of hand, Susan, in 1989, again, when I had the Rife microscope, I took a call at my office. And a woman says, I heard what happened to your founder, Steve Ross. And I said, oh, what did you hear about him? She says, I was at a gathering, and at this gathering, there was about 60 people at a condo rec room, and they drew the curtains, and they played a video about Nikola Tesla by Orrin Welles. And when that was finished, we heard the story of this young man, Stephen Ross, who had this super microscope, and he was gunned down in his front yard leaving his house. So again, remember, I'm talking, she's talking about me. I said, really? And I said, when did this happen? And she said, oh, this happened about 3 weeks ago. And she said to me, did you know him? And I said, actually, I saw him in the mirror this morning.
Right.
And she finally got it and she goes, oh, you must be Steve. My point here is that there is a lot of misinformation that goes out, mm-hmm. and it's not just from bad forces. It is from well-meaning people who
right.
really do not know what they're talking about. 99.9999% of everybody who's written about royal rights and the microscope never saw it, never touched it, and don't have mm-hmm. any original information. He was real. The results, Susan, are incredible, fantastic, this whole idea of what this microscope could do. Unfortunately mm-hmm. now, because people have come up with Rife devices and Rife ray tubes, which Rife had nothing to do with, the
right,
authorities
yeah.
in many states have banned those devices, so we couldn't even come out with the real machine because Rife's name is banned and so are his machine.
Mm-hmm. But it does show you a technology of how things could work. I mean, the whole idea is very, very sound, and it could be done again in without the interference that might exist today.
The machines are around. We have that scope. There's a lot of things that can be done, but it has to do with the climate. It has to do with making sense and coming out with things in an understandable manner that makes sense. So my World Research Foundation compiles information. We have so many different things of which the Rife microscope is one. We have information on a microscope called the NEMESCOPE, NEMESCOPE, that mm-hmm. was built in the 50s that saw down to the atomic level at 3.5 million magnification.
Mm-hmm.
Rife only did 60,000. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things in this world, and it's a question of whether people are open and ready for it.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about color therapy.
Yes.
And how that was so well tested and so many results occurred, and then what happened to that therapy?
Yes, the color therapy and what I've written about in my book is a individual named Dinshaw Gaudiali from India. Now, color therapy was mentioned by Pythagoras in 525 BC. Color therapy is the use of the visible light spectrum in the healing process. And as I go a little bit deeper, I've got to share that a lot of times as I'm lecturing to medical doctors, a doctor in the audience will go, well, I don't believe this. There's no validity. And I say, doctor, what do you do for yellow jaundice, bilirubin, infant liver syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we put, and then
yep.
they stop. I said, let me finish the sentence for you. You put them under a blue light. And
right.
if they don't have the light, they may have 100% fatality. So I don't know what you call that, but I would call that color therapy.
Right.
So Dinshaw Gaudiali comes from India. He develops a 12-color system. And with that color, he addressed more than 360 different diseases and illnesses, as well as aspects of burn victims. Now, how successful was he? There were 500 U.S. doctors using his color therapy system in the 20s and early 30s until the AMA Journal came out and said, any doctor using color is going to use their license. They did
mm-hmm.
not say color didn't work. They just said
they
didn't like that. It's
yep.
the way. Now, it was interesting because Dr. Kate Baldwin of Philadelphia Women's Hospital, the oldest surgical hospital in the United States back in the 20s, put in 12 of his color machines
mm-hmm.
And treated patients. Some of the results appeared in the Atlantic Medical Journal, actually, in the
mm-hmm.
1920s, of Little Grace Sherlow, who had third-degree burns on two-thirds of her body, given up for dead, and Dr. Baldwin just used the color. After the first hour, the little girl had no more pain for the duration. There was no topical surgery done or skin graft, and baby skin grew using this color. Now, the authorities went after Dinshaw, and in a court case in New York, Dr. Dadiali and color therapy were put on trial. So many doctors testified of their results on bronchitis, sinus, asthma, jaundice, kidney conditions, gonorrhea, syphilis, and cancer, that the jury let Dinshaw Gadiali go because it was proved that the color worked. But unfortunately, Dinshaw was from India, and the AMA and the FDA said he was a doctor practicing medicine without a license, and he was thrown in jail six times. And went basically into eight different prisons. Sad story, but his sentence was commuted by a U.S. president, and he eventually got out. So I kind of given your listeners and you a shotgun version, but my intent with my book and what I do is if people are interested, they can always delve farther. This 12-color system, I have personally worked with almost 500 people, and animals, and I know exactly how it works, including my father, who was in Kaiser, and I'm going to say it, Kaiser Permanente Hospital in Hollywood, California, told he would be a quadriplegic. I have the medical records to find a dispensation, a quadriplegic, a neurogenic bladder. We used color on him twice a day, and 5 weeks later, he walked out of Kaiser on two canes, and then the doctor's report said the patient has made a miraculous recovery from complete quadriplegia, which they were going to start quadriplegic training. So I have a personal experience with virtually everything I've written in the book. I know it works. Does it work for everybody? No. But I guarantee you this. Since 525 BC till now, you have never read an article that said Mary Jane Smith was found OD, her color projector, blasting away. It is a safe, effective, inexpensive therapy. My dad's therapy was 1 hour of AC current out of the wall for a five-week period. So why isn't it in use? There's no money in it.
Right. And now you can do LED therapy. You know, you can plug LED lights of different color over areas and get the same effect that, you know, in terms of the electromagnetics. So that's another area that that is suppressed. I mean, all of it's suppressed, basically. But,
Right, and if we do have a little time, an important chapter that I have that I think helps a lot of practitioners is the chapter on the visualization of the acupuncture meridian. And for quite a few years, a lot of scientific and medical people have poo-pooed the whole idea of acupuncture, the acupuncture points, the meridians, the chi energy. Well, in the late 1970s, two aerospace nuclear medical doctors examined this whole acupuncture system by using a radioactive isotope, technetium-99, and CAT scan cameras. They took the technetium and they injected it at non-acupuncture points, and the technetium just went into a swirled ball and did not move. When they injected the technetium at specific acupuncture points, they were able to measure the migration of the technetium through the body using CAT scan cameras, and they were able to map out the entire meridian system. discovering this G energy moves 3 to 5 centimeters a second. And their research demonstrated the reality of two important points. They found that through using these CAT scan cameras, the system they identified matched perfectly the charts from the ancient Chinese 3,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Also, I was there at Necker Hospital. The two men are on my advisory board. They are also on the French Nuclear Regulatory Board. So these were not some guys in their garage. They were working at a prestigious hospital. And the offshoots of what they found and how they used this is they would diagnose a patient using Chinese medicine. Then they would find out where the problem in the body was. They would then do a surgery if that's what was needed. They would then do this system again with the technician, and that would tell them whether the meridian corresponding to that organ they did surgery on had in fact reestablished its energy flow. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just thought why this is important is you didn't have to prove to the Chinese that this existed, but it took all these years to develop the machine that can measure subtle energy.
And, you know, the chakra system is something that really only clairvoyants can see. And I know Valerie Hunt did a lot of research at UCLA to show the electromagnetic body in much more detail than what you can see with the naked eye. She developed machines that would show this, like pain. Yep. Frequency of red was pain in her machines. She did a lot for that to bring that into science. But basically, the chakras are connected to the acupuncture meridian system. The acupuncture meridian system is connected to the nervous system and the endocrine system. And, I mean, that's where the non-physical becomes physical. But without understanding multidimensional reality, you're really not going to understand holistic integrative medicine, because holistic integrative medicine is using the entire system with like what we said, scalar energy being fifth-dimensional, energy that's brought down to this level and changes things instantaneously. It doesn't require any time to travel halfway across the world like an electromagnetic pulse would require. So
right,
you just have to expand your understanding of reality, and then everything makes sense. All the miracles make perfect sense. So we just have to bring the whole planet up to this level of understanding.
And I think that there are people, again, who have that understanding. Then you have individuals who might eventually. And so one aspect of my approach has been to take individuals who have this more scientific engineering, it's all about the physical approach, and slowly integrate things such as this acupuncture, such as, oh, did you know that Dr. Bjorn Nordenstrom, the chairman of the Nobel Assembly, was shrinking cancer tumors with electricity? The idea is to be talking about people who they can relate to in their, oh my gosh, degree documented world. And then it's a little, oh, really? Oh, two aerospace doctors were looking at acupuncture, and slowly let them see. Our library contains, again, 20,000 volumes dating to the 1400s in virtually every form of spiritual, electromagnetic, alchemical subject areas. And it's interesting that I found over the years that when people come, or even if you walk into a bookstore, people need to trust themselves. Books sometimes just seem to jump out. Titles jump out. And I would encourage your listeners to trust their inner guidance, trust themselves. There is a higher dimension that we all possess. That dimension is much wiser, but it is still a part of us. And if one follows this inner behesting, you will find a greater world and greater dimensions opening up to you.
Yeah, the spiritual guidance plays a great role. When one is ill, there's basically, in my experience, three causes of disease. One is karmic. And you'd be surprised how many illnesses are karmic. You know, I treat a lot of RSD. I treat a lot of really bad chronic pain. And it's karmic. There's nothing that anyone's going to be able to do for it other than palliative. There's no automatic cure. A lot of it spontaneously resolves within 7 years, which is interesting, however. And then there's environmental. As you know, we live in an environment that's has toxic chemicals, electromagnetic pollution, bad food, you know, a lot of different things that we have to be aware of. And then there's attitude and emotion. And so many illnesses are really primarily from the, the attitude, the emotional, and that affecting the physical body with a downward causation. So, but you do have to know which areas the disease comes from. You see how important that is? Because if you try to treat karmic illness with either emotional or environmental, you can get some improvement. I'm not saying that you can't, but you do have to understand the basic cause of the disease.
And I believe that when you get into these areas, obviously there's many stratas from the highly technical, highly degreed medical specialists all the way to Reiki or intuitive. It is imperative that the person who is working on someone else have that intuition, have integrity, be open, and listen to what is going on. The great philosopher, medical doctor, alchemist, Paracelsus, even in the 1500s, spoke about the premier type of practitioner. This practitioner would be well-versed in nature. This practitioner would know how to listen. This practitioner would know all about herbs and the effects of whatever they're doing. But even more important than that, they would understand how the planets and astrology may be affecting, and the past lives, and the environment. So all of these things have been known throughout time. The better practitioners are the ones who open up themselves as a conduit, and they pick up from the patient, they observe the environment, they pick up, and I have written about this very, very often. We can know past lives. It isn't just all about regression. If somebody sits humbly in front of their patient or humbly in front of nature, you will hear what you need to help that person. That is my belief, and that is what I've used for more than 45 years.
Yeah, it's like a guidance system that we all have. Sometimes it takes two or more to come together to really take advantage of that guidance system. That's why when you do seek out a practitioner, try to seek one out that does incorporate this type of intuition. And sometimes what I do when we're stuck is I just put the patient on the healing table and just send energy. And then the patient themselves has a breakthrough. You know, they themselves see what the disease is.
And that's even better.
And
that is the strong, and that is, yes, you're absolutely right. And that is the strongest. And that is why my posts, even on Facebook, have been constant about empowering individuals. But, Susan, it goes back to trust.
It does.
It goes back to how much an individual really trusts themselves, because a lot of times in talking with people, they'll say, gosh, I thought that, or I knew that, and they need reiteration from somebody else. And it is beneficial that we have good people who are there to help, but the ultimate is our own position and understanding, but it goes back to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. It does. So would you like to give some contact information?
If you would like, our website at World Research is wrf.org. wrf.org. The number for World Research is 928-284-3300. I see our time is closing here. One thing that I have shared that I would also like to put out is when people are looking to manifest particular abilities, my spiritual guidance gave me this. If one has an open heart, a beautiful mind, and a humble spirit, there is nothing that you will not find out and discover.
That's true.
That is my belief, a beautiful heart, an open mind, and a humble spirit. And the beautiful heart could be a heart in beauty. So I trust individuals. I believe we're at a cusp of greater awareness. As all of these things are taking place in our outer world with the government, with the politics, unfortunately, that has been taking people away from looking within and understanding there is a greater aspect of ourselves riding in this physical conveyance. And the more you look outside, the less you are feeling and receiving what you need from the inside.
Right. And I do want to mention that Trump has signed by executive order that certain medical technologies that we have been mentioning today, and maybe even greater technologies than we mentioned today, will be released within a few years. So that's very important. There are suppressed medical technologies, just incredible technologies, that are in use today, but not widely.
Yes.
That should be being released within a few years if his executive orders stand.
Well, and we will see. My book was and nothing happened, but you can make it happen. So let's look forward that it will happen. These will happen.
Well, I believe we're entering a new dawn for this planet where the negative forces are going to be no longer productive and possibly even eliminated, and we will be able to proceed like we should have proceeded in terms of all sorts of growth, including healthcare, science, and all of the spirituality that has been suppressed.
Absolutely. And Susan, while I have the chance, I want to thank you for allowing me to be on your show today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I'd like to have you back as a guest sometime so we can discuss some of the other things that you mentioned in your email. Today we covered part of your book. We didn't even get all the way through it. So we can set up another interview to talk about some of the other things that you've discovered.
Sounds good. I would look forward to it. I want to wish you a great afternoon.
Thank you very much. This is Dr. Susan Kolb. We've been interviewing Dr. Stephen Ross on his book, And Nothing Happened. He is the co-founder and CEO of the World Research Foundation. I'd like to ask the listening audience to go look that up now. It's a very important institution, preserving things that hopefully in the near future will be in widespread use. Thank you very much.